It's Monday, and it's time for Chasing the Word on Compassion Radio. Monday morning, time for Chasing the Word. We're still in the book of John. We will be for a while. Sandy, welcome back to the microphone.
It's so good to be here.
We're into probably, as we mentioned last week, the most famous chapter in the entire Bible for Christians, John chapter 3. I'm excited about it because we're not just going to do Sunday school answers here. We're going to talk about the experience and the characters that are actually in this chapter and how they led up to the most famous verse in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love the story of Nicodemus because we see that Nicodemus is a man that really questions, that he really searches the scriptures. As we'll read, he sees that there's something about Jesus that is just not ordinary. Mm-hmm. He is a man that is doing the work of God. And Nicodemus has seen that, even though he's part of the ruling class, he has clout among his people, he's not following the party line in that sense.
The study we're going to do today is also available to you on our website. So if you'd like to grab a copy of this chapter's Bible study, including the translation we've been working on, that's available to you through our Dynamic Gospel offer. That's all on our website. Our podcast page every Monday has a link to that study guide, including the excerpt from the book of John that we're doing this week. Mm-hmm. So I'd invite you to go pick up a copy of that for free. Just download it on our website, compassionradio.com. Okay, honey, why don't you start at verse 1 there, and we're using the Holman Christian Standard as our baseline translation from which we will start our conversation, then we'll jump over to our new Dynamic Gospel and compare the two a bit.
John chapter 3. There was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one could perform the signs you do unless God were with him." Jesus replied to him, "I assure you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So I want to stop right there because it doesn't seem like Jesus is actually responding to Nicodemus in this sentence.
Like it.
I mean, Nicodemus goes and says, "We know you're from God and you're doing all these signs, but what can you tell me about yourself?" And then Jesus responds.
Well, we'll unpack that as we get farther into this. Let's go ahead and finish this passage first.
Okay. Nicodemus replies, "How can anyone be born when he is old?" In another translation that I like to read called The Voice, he says, "I'm a grown man. How can I experience this again?" Nicodemus continues, "Can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born?" And Jesus answered, "I assure you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I told you that you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can these things be?" asked Nicodemus. Jesus replied, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and you don't know these things? I assure you, we speak what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but you do not accept our testimony. If I have told you about things that happen on earth and you don't believe, how will you believe if I tell you about things of heaven? No one has been to heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God didn't send his Son to the world that he might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him."
And that, of course, is the capstone on the most famous passage that we would consider essential to our understanding of who Jesus really was.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to me that it seems like Jesus is hopscotching all over the Word of God here. Mm-hmm. In about five or six verses, he's put himself at key places all through the history of Israel. He's now become the Ebenezer being lifted up to heal the people being bitten by snakes. He's this, he's that. He's seeing the entire realm of God's kingdom, telling a story like he's there.
Mm-hmm.
So like we talked about last week, when Jesus was in the temple, it seems like he's on another plane. He's with the people in the temple, but he's also somewhere else, thinking of heavenly things.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's very much the same way with Nicodemus here. I love that Nicodemus goes in as a literalist and tries to listen very carefully so he really understands what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, Jesus is saying literal things about the Spirit. Nicodemus so far can only really hear it as a materialistic man. Mm-hmm. So he's hearing the words and doesn't see the fullness of them or the metaphor, the richest of the language that Jesus is using.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that Jesus seems to do right off the bat, as you notice, was he redirects. The first thing Nicodemus says is, obviously you're a man of God because you couldn't do this stuff if you weren't. So it's a rhetorical statement so that Jesus would, I'll cut you loose on this one. Obviously nobody can be a devil and do good things. Mm-hmm. They can all agree about that. But I still don't get it. How are you doing these things and why are you doing them and who are you? So the question is wide open. And Jesus seems to be on another plane saying, and so Jesus turns right back around to him and says, unless someone's born again, you can't. You know, the kingdom of God. Can't even see it. Mm-hmm. He's blind. He seems to be completely misunderstanding Nicodemus' question. But Jesus seems to have a knack that we see all through his career of hearing the real question behind the words right. that's not being asked. Mm-hmm. He's saying that the important things are spiritual. They'll change the perspective on everything else.
So you think Nicodemus is coming to him and saying, I want to know how to know you better, or I want to know what it is that God wants me to learn from this situation.
I think Jesus is telling Nicodemus right then, you're never going to get me until you get what God's up to. Mm-hmm. In other words, I'm part of this picture.
Well, it seems too that Nicodemus has been chosen to go and speak to Jesus.
Could be.
That maybe they did rock, paper, scissors and sent Nicodemus. You win, Nicodemus, or you lose, whichever.
But it does say he went there at nighttime, though.
Well, he does, under the cover of night. But he says also, he says, you know, some of us have been talking. In the voice, it says that, you know, some of us have been talking about this, and it's obvious to us that you are from God, because how could you do these good works if you're not from God?
Well, whether he went there himself on his own initiative, or there was a small cabal of those who were kind of like the minority report within the bigger group, obviously, he's not the majority voice.
Right. Well, he could have been in the temple and seen what had happened when Jesus drove out the money changers.
So there he presents himself, and he listens very carefully to his words. He hears Jesus say these things about being born again, which seems like total nonsense,
mm-hmm.
because if you literally follow to the nth degree what Jesus is saying in the material sense, it all falls apart.
Right.
But when he starts realizing what he's really talking about, it all comes together. Mm-hmm. It doesn't fall apart at all. The wisdom of God is coming up. I think Nicodemus senses it, and it probably unnerves him because he's like, I'm missing something here. It's very true. He is. But I deeply appreciate that Nicodemus persisted.
Right.
And didn't shirk away from the interaction with Jesus. Even when he was confused, it seemed like he was good-natured enough to say, oh, come on. How can a man be born of an old woman? That makes no sense.
How can an old man return to his mother's
exactly.
womb?
Exactly. So I'll give him a lot of credit for being willing to engage, even if he feels like he's frustrated or flustered. It seems like he's truly a seeker, mm-hmm. and he's not taking no for an answer. He wants to know what Jesus is really all about.
Well, and then Jesus begins to explain it to him a little bit more, and he says, if you're born of the flesh, you understand things of the flesh. But when you're born of the Spirit, you begin to understand things of the Spirit. And he says the word pneuma, which is
the breath.
The breath of God and the innermost person that communes with God. And so I think as a teacher, Nicodemus gets that when yeah. Jesus begins to speak this way and explain a little bit more about what he's talking about, goes into this breath of God. And Nicodemus can go, oh, okay, that's where we're going with this.
And even within these first three chapters of John, John is now putting in the same box those words, logos and pneuma, so that the written, the hard chisel, the crystal thoughts of God have become flesh.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, God softened his edges and put them in Jesus.
Mm.
He's also breathed the life into him as he did with all of his other creation. But even as a creation, he's creator. So he's got both this pneuma, this breath of God in him, but he's also got the solid, concrete, absolute authority of the word in him as well.
Yeah. Nicodemus still continues to question Jesus a little bit and says, I'm hearing what you're saying, but it just seems fantastical to me. How is this possible? And Jesus, he kind of reviles him a little bit and says, are you a teacher of the law, or you instruct people in matters of faith, and yet you don't understand this? Isn't this the whole crux of what you do? Isn't this your job, basically? Don't you know how to teach these things, or don't you know what you're even teaching about?
You know, in this scene, we have two ways to go with this in interpreting what the encounter was like. A lot of people assume this is the angry Jesus.
Mm.
It's like, come on, you're stupid. You're an idiot for not knowing these things. I'm going to show you what mm-hmm. for. A lot of people read the scripture as if Jesus is in that mode saying, what a useless teacher you are. Nothing about Jesus here that I read is dressing him down to belittle him.
Mm.
But he is going, nose to nose with the Supreme Court. In that didactic, this discussion, this hard-won argument about something that's so essential on those spiritual level, on those terms, on the terminology, how we understand those words, the word is going right at Nicodemus and hitting him in the heart. Mm. And I do believe it's very direct, but I also believe there's a lot of love and good nature there. And I know that Jesus can read Nicodemus, so he's not reading him to be antagonistic to him. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be antagonistic back.
Right.
It's just not his nature. Mm-hmm. So I think he comes back with a generous spirit saying, really now, let's talk about this for a while. And is expansive about it and describes what a teacher should be and shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. And doesn't completely run Nicodemus off. The impression we get here is that Nicodemus stuck around to hear John 3:16 and 17 and 18, 19, 20, 21. He didn't walk out of the room. He didn't storm out. He listened to all of it. So there had to be something about the way Jesus interacted with Nicodemus that held him there, even when it looks like to us Nicodemus is being dissed.
I get that point. I see that. Yeah, I think I might be one of those who thought Jesus was kind of giving him a hard time at first. But I do see the point that you're making in that Jesus actually knows that Nicodemus is coming with honesty here. He's coming with honest questions, with honest thoughts that are confusing to him, even though he is a teacher. And maybe because he is a teacher and he knows the scripture, he's read the scriptures, he knows the prophecies. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's turning that over in his mind and Jesus is trying to push him a little bit further into that and just, you know, get him over that hump a little bit. You know, really examine Nicodemus, what you know these things. You're a teacher here. So keep digging and keep poring over the scripture and you're going to get it.
And as a theologian, mm-hmm. Nicodemus, as far as I'm concerned, is the only guy that shows up in the entire narrative of the Gospels that looks and acts like a disciple. Mm. So on some level, I think Jesus is giving him great respect and honor, even though he hasn't called him to be one of his students. As a peer within the culture, he looks at him as somebody that can be reached. Mm-hmm. And doesn't announce him to be a traitor to their cause.
Right.
He looks at Nicodemus with a lot of love, as mm-hmm. far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. Friends, for almost 78 years now, Compassion Radio has been committed to bringing you the truth about what God is really doing in the world and how He is bringing about the salvation, redemption, life, and growth of His kingdom, wherever it is to be found. A quick reminder that it's your generosity and support that make Compassion Radio possible. Especially at a year like this, we need your vote of support. Call 1-800-868-2478. Write us at Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859, or give online at CompassionRadio.com in order to keep this program coming to you each day. We have a very special thank you for your generous support to keep this ministry on the air and in the field. It's a fresh take on that amazing story of the life of Jesus, written by the Apostle John. We're calling it the Dynamic Gospel for a lot of reasons, and I'd love to send you one if you ask for it. Just let us know when you contact us today with your gift. God bless you and your growing faith in 2021. And now back to our new discussion on the book of John in our Dynamic Gospel Chasing the Word series.
Well, let's take a look at the same passage of Scripture through the Dynamic Gospel.
Here's a story about a notable Jewish leader named Nicodemus. He was a fundamentalist, and his name means to conquer or rule the people. And in religious matters, the fundamentalist held considerable power. Nicodemus decided to visit Jesus personally, though he did it in the secret during the night. "Teacher," he said, "it's apparent that God is truly on your side, for how else could you perform such astonishing signs and miracles?" Heartily, Jesus answered, "Absolutely, you speak the truth, friend. Furthermore, it's important to realize that God's kingdom is being revealed, and no one can really comprehend what that means without a total rebirth." Nicodemus did not get the spiritual implication of Jesus' answer, for he was used to reading things very literally. "How can a man be physically reborn? The old become babies? That makes no sense." Jesus spelled it out for him. "Let me make this clear. If you want to make it into God's kingdom, more than one birth is required. Sure, we come into the world physically, washed from our mother's wombs, but a man must be washed out of the world by God's Spirit as well. That which is born into the world is alive, but worldly. That which is born into the Spirit is spiritually alive. So don't get your mind in a cramp when I say you must go through two births." The voice of real spiritual life is blowing like a great wind all around us. It's babble to most. "I see you shaking your head. Do you not understand this yet?" Let me ask you this. Where does the wind come from? Where is it heading? Those born to the Spirit will figure it out. Nicodemus said, "You're losing me." Jesus now shook his head. "You mean to tell me that you are a professor of spiritual things and you haven't got a clue? All Israel is looking to you." Amazing. Here's all I have to say on the matter. Every word you hear me speak is simply an account of the things we have heard and experienced for ourselves firsthand. No, he said, she said here. We've seen God's truth with our own eyes. We're just reporting it to you as it is, and still you call us crazy. If I start off with simple lessons, common sense truths that anybody can understand, and you won't accept even that, how in the world are you going to get a handle on deeper spiritual truths? Are you going to sidestep God's revelation and rip truth right out of heaven by yourselves? You'll never get at the truth unless you hear it from the Son who comes down from heaven with it. And the Son won't stay down for long. Just like the serpent Moses held up in the wild places, so the Son of Man is bound to be lifted up. Trust my words. Look to the serpent and you will not die, Moses told the people. So it will be the same with me. Only my kind of life is eternal. It's written big now. God loves you. All of you. He's given you the only Son he has so that anyone that looks to him for salvation will get it. No more dying inside or out. Instead, they get real life, for now and forever. God hasn't dispatched his Son to crack down on the unruly masses. He sent him so that the saving could begin. Day by day, person by person, he's here to save the world.
So Jesus brings Moses into the picture, and he brings the story of the serpent being raised up in the wilderness for the people to look to be cured from having been bitten by snakes. And we talked about that a little bit in the first part of the program. He's taking it back to scripture and saying, look, you know this.
Yeah.
You know these things. You know the stories. He's pushing Nicodemus to turn that corner and relate who Jesus is, this person, to what Moses was talking about being lifted up for salvation purposes. I imagine that was a bit confusing or a bit mind-blowing to Nicodemus. Is he saying that he is going to be lifted up for salvation of mankind? And then, boom, here it comes. Yes, God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son. That's me. Mm-hmm. And here's how you get eternal life. You believe in me.
Jesus is saying in John 3:16, a scene of the cross. He's not talking about him coming to the world and walking around and saying nice things that we follow. He's already said that like the snake was lifted up, so the Son of Man will be lifted up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can see Nicodemus seeing that as a metaphor. Oh, he's going to be lifted up, exalted, like the snake was. Well, wait, that doesn't make sense. The snake wasn't exalted. It was a graven image, like an idol, something that should be despised. In fact, it doesn't really make sense in the Old Testament other than how Jesus is going to make it make sense, because they were expressly prohibited from making graven images of things to worship.
Right.
And yet, Moses puts the stick up on the hill and says, when you're bit by snakes, look to this and you will be healed.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a weird, weird story. And it's all through the Old Testament. And it's looked to as something that is essential but mysterious. Jesus is now saying to Nicodemus, not only is it a mystery being revealed, I'm literally going to be lifted up.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they don't get that yet. When the cross comes, when salvation through Jesus' sacrifice happens on that horrible day, it all made sense.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they're just trying to get their minds around what little they can grab onto, which was completely shattering of the old, but the new has not really been fully revealed yet.
Yeah.
It's just how hard that must have been. So it's okay that Nicodemus leaves confused.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay that the disciples hear John 3:16 and 17 and still don't get it and still keep following Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Friends, it's okay today if you don't get John 3:16 and 17 yet, but you're pursuing Jesus, to not stop just because things look really weird or confusing or mind-blowing. You know, that Greek word we use in English now, epiphany, the revelation of something hidden, and now the aha moment happens. So that revelation that comes of, this is it, I finally understand what he's talking about. It snaps into place. I mean, maybe like learning a math problem and figuring it out for the first time. When that knowledge becomes real for you because it has substance, then suddenly it all comes together. There's a lot more epiphanies to happen in the life of Jesus along the way. And John keeps reminding us, you know what? this is how Jesus said it, and we just didn't get it.
Yeah.
And yet we kept pursuing him.
I think I almost like to read for myself verse 17 more than 16, even, because he says to him, I didn't come to condemn the world.
Right.
I'm not coming to judge you, to condemn you, to put you in your place. I'm coming to rescue you, coming to fulfill all of the prophecies that were spoken about the Messiah and to rescue you from this body of death, as Paul calls it.
And in the Greek language, he's not just saying the world, all the peoples in the world. He's saying person by person, group by group, nation by nation, the world altogether. In every sense of the world, I'm here to save it. Mm-hmm. So Jesus is setting in motion events that will change eternity. Mm-hmm. And he knows it.
Yeah.
But he also is saying things that are very personal. We need to see it on both levels, because there'll be arguments between different schools of thought about what Jesus actually accomplished by dying on the tree. Mm-hmm. And what he accomplished by resurrecting. And those things are always in dynamic tension. I think it's okay that they are, because some people think very personally about it. Some people think very group-oriented about it, about social justice and the way that God's redeeming the world through the church. Both these things are very, very true, but they're not exclusive of each other. Mm-hmm. And we need to recognize that God is about redeeming the world, us, the people. He's about redeeming the world, that which he created. He's about redeeming all the people that inhabit this world. Mm-hmm. It's all true.
Yeah.
And we can't escape the fact that God's operating on many levels at the same time. And it's okay that he is. Even if we don't sense all the different ways he's working, it's okay. In fact, it's very good that God is at work redeeming this world and that I'm in it and I get to receive that as I find him, as he finds me. Mm.
Listen, I love what we're doing here, because getting into chapter 3, we're getting the meat, so much meat about Jesus' life. I'm so excited about what next week's going to bring, what the next week is going to bring, and after that, because to me, the book of John is such a meaty book that we can really chew on and get to the heart of God for mankind and for, as you said, for his creation. He loves his creation. And that includes the entirety of it.
Yeah.
And like you said earlier, we get caught up sometimes on the personal aspect of it, which is beautiful, and it's absolutely true. But there's so much more to what the scripture is saying than what I read through my personal lens.
Farther into this, as we welcome into the depths of the heart that Jesus is inviting Nicodemus into, that transformative experience with God means that he's transforming you. But he's also transforming the world, which means you are too, because you're part of it. Mm-hmm. And we can't escape the fact that we have been invited and have been drawn along like a flood pulling a boat downstream. God is busy redeeming the world, and he's bringing us along for the ride, whether we like it or not. Mm-hmm. We are part of this.
Yeah.
And to recognize that God intends to use us to be at work in our hands, in our eyes, in our communities, in our churches, in such a way that the world cannot escape his love is a beautiful and scary thing.
Mm. I love a conversation that you and I had with a friend of ours just recently. An older gentleman was talking to us about a Bible study that he's in and how God has been teaching him things and how he's learning all of these things about a scripture, even having grown up in a church himself. And he said, I just hate that it took me so long to begin this process of learning about the scripture. And I thought, wow, that is so beautiful, though, that he's on this journey. And like Nicodemus says, how can an old man go back to being a baby and be born again? We personally experienced that with this friend of ours, who's a relatively new believer, or a passionate believer, I might say. He's always believed in God and Jesus, but he's begun this journey of really searching out the scriptures, and he's so excited about it. And I love that passion. And I see that even here in what we're reading about Nicodemus. He's very excited to learn these things, and he's got questions. And we said to our friend, these are great questions that you're asking. This is so great that you are on this journey, and we love seeing that, and we love being part of it. I love that that's what the scripture does. It doesn't matter your age. You go into it, and you read it, and you see something that just brings you alive. And that's what Nicodemus was finding out here in chapter 3 of John.
And what a better time to be thinking about being reinvigorated in our passion for the word than a time that has been enervating us. The enervate means to draw the strength out of you.
Mm.
If there's been a time in our recent history
That's where we are. I don't know
what has been more enervating than 2020 and 2021. We've been having the life sucked out of us as a people. The whole planet we know is under stress, and we may make some bad decisions when we're under stress. To be reinvigorated with a passion for God's word is going to bring life back to us spiritually as well as physically. So let God fill your heart today with the truth and the reality, the presence of his word, to remind you that he has not given up on you. He has not given up on this world. And he's got a plan. He's also got an opportunity, a vision for you that's beautiful. Don't be afraid to seize on that and ask God what that might be in your own prayers today. We'll see you next Monday for the next section of chapter 3 of Chasing the Word in the book of John. For your gift of support this month, I'd love to send you a copy of our special edition of The Dynamic Gospel that we're highlighting in this series. It's a very fresh and motivational take on this beloved gospel. See this treasured book with new eyes. We're glad to offer it to you, and it's only available through Compassion Radio. Call us today at 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're on the web 24/7 at CompassionRadio.com. We'll see you tomorrow.